Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today and over the next hour, here's what's on the docket. So injury reports have been a big topic of discussion, especially in the NBA lately, because of the black cloud of gambling investigations and arrests that have happened, and for good reason. People are now questioning, you know, if a player leaves a game, if a player is not on the injury report and then doesn't play in a game. And so the NBA is trying to crack down on this, which I feel like the NBA is kind of scrambling right now. So we will get into that, as well as some of the talk about the Ravens this past week and saying that Lamar Jackson was a full participant. They went on to say that, oh, maybe he wasn't. I don't know what the NFL is going to do about that. Maybe nothing, probably nothing, because they know we're going to watch anyway. Then we'll get on to Game 4 of the World Series between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. The Dodgers, of course, just finishing up Game 3 in a late-inning affair that took 6 hours and 39 minutes. Who has the edge in Game 4? Well, Ohtani is pitching for the Dodgers. So we'll get into that over the next hour here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. All right, so before we get into some of this injury information update news, let me ask you this, Denton. Am I being a hater? And somebody is sitting and having a long conversation on one of the squat racks. I say to myself, as somebody who means business and wants to get in and out with my workout, I say, this is not social hour. I understand some of you have friends, unlike me, but, like, if there's only one rack open and you're sitting there and having a 20-minute discussion, I get irritated. Am I being a hater?
No.
Hater alert.
Get off the squat rack. Get off. The squat rack is prime real estate in a gym. It's so versatile. You can do so many things. You can knock some pull-ups up. You could do some deadlifts. You could do some... Like, there's so many different things that you can do. And if you are a workout, like a real gym goer, you probably do a leg day twice a week, minimum, right? So that is high quality real estate. If you're going to be sitting there just chit-chatting about who knows what, I don't care what, chit-chat somewhere else. You know, go to the leg curl machine. Go to the core portion of the gym. You know, you want to get on a yoga mat and chit-chat, all good. But when you're sitting down at the squat rack, you got to get out. Like, that's, you can't be taking that one thing up. You can't take that up. You can't take the benches up. Anything else I think is fair, but you got to get out of the squat rack.
Hater alert.
I just feel like it's one of those things where it's a lack of self-awareness. Because keep in mind, this is at like 5:30 p.m. when everybody, including all of the gym rats, are at the gym. So some people take up the squat rack for like an hour. And I understand you got to get your Olympic lifts in. But like when there are very few squat racks, like read the room. Like people are standing around waiting. And you're having a conversation. So I don't know what it is with people at gyms. It's like people at gyms, people getting off planes, people at airports. There is no self-awareness, and people are the absolute worst.
And in the grocery store, where they put the cart in the middle.
Mm.
I'm like, how am I supposed to get around this if your cart is in the middle? Were the people who are talking on the squat rack, did they have, like, big weight on? Because if you got six plates on or something like that, my bad, bro. That's on me. You know what? Talk. You're probably recovering from 600-pound squats. But, like, if you're, like, it's like 135, you know, like, get out. You know what I mean? We got some gym rats over here that need to use this.
I don't think it matters. I don't think the weight matters. It is still, you are abusing your time there because you do have to have time to recover. But like, if you're talking for 20 minutes, that's not recovery.
Right. That's true.
So that's theft. Squat rack,
that's
people.
Theft. That's what that is.
Right. So like, just read the room. That's all I ask, is to have a little self-awareness. So the NBA is trying to have some self-awareness when it comes to their injury report. So let me start off by saying this. Like, it just still feels like there is this cloud of speculation that's surrounding the NBA right now. Don't know if you heard of all the gambling arrests and accusations of some of the former players and current players who were taking themselves out of games and telling their friends and family members to hit the under on their points, rebounds, and assists. But now the NBA is doing this. The NBA informed its 30 teams that the league has begun a process of reviewing policies regarding injury reporting and enhancing internal and external monitoring programs to identify betting activity of concern. That is per Shams of ESPN. And so it feels like the NBA is trying to do something to give the people some ammo and be like, hey, listen, we're trying to cut back on this. But as a fan, Denton, do you think that this takes away the cloud of speculation at all?
No, Adam Silver is not equipped to deal with this. He's not. He does not rule with an iron fist the way that David Stern does. He would never put Michael Jordan in a position where he has to go play baseball. The more I hear about this, the more I realize, like, that conspiracy is not a conspiracy, by the way. This is lipstick on a pig, because what adjustments are you going to make that are actually going to make the change that you are hoping to see? Like, I don't need a statement about, hey, we're reviewing this. I need practical ways that you are going to make changes. Because how do you? People are going to know when the injured players are not going to play before it is released. Unless you want to do like some weird Tony Stark, like, we're going to put nanotechnology in your brain, which I'm like, no, I'm good on that. There's no way that you're going to be able to put this information out immediately to the gamblers. You're always going to have some collection of people that have inside knowledge on this, that if they want to take the route that Damon Jones did, they will take that route. If they need the money for whatever the reason, if they want to make a little extra cash on the side, they're going to take that route. I just don't feel like there's any way that you can practically make this change to actually fix and stop the problem that you currently have, which is guys that are using inside information with apparently mob ties now, but you're using inside information to kind of rig parts of the game and parts of the integrity of the game. This is the biggest challenge that Adam Silver is going to have to deal with, and I will reiterate this until I am blue in the face. I will beat the dead horse until it is disintegrated. I don't believe he is equipped to handle it.
I don't think it's one of those things that's just, to give him some sort of credit, I think it's just a really tough problem. Because injuries are one of those things where, like, if somebody pulls an oblique, how do you know that he's telling the truth? You know, because when it comes to, like, soft tissue injuries, you know, people can pull something all the time, especially these basketball players, who some of them just have legs that are built like sticks. You're like, oh, he has a calf injury, because he barely has a calf. So I feel like he was on the right track when he banned Jontay Porter for life. Because you say to yourself, okay, how do you stop this from happening? You have to, you know, rule with an iron fist, and you have to really make sure that nobody does this again. So, like, you already put the law down and say, okay, if you do this, you're going to be banned for life. But the other thing going against Adam Silver here is the fact that they conducted their own investigations and found nothing. And then the FBI swoops in and they say, actually, we did find a lot of stuff, and you guys missed quite a bit.
It's embarrassing. It's a stain on the league. And understandably, they don't have the connections of the FBI. Like, if the NBA were to roll up on mafia members and try and investigate them, that's not going to go well. You know, it works a little bit better for the FBI, but it's embarrassing when the guy that you cleared months ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever it was very much flippant in this. And we had all kind of, like, I had heard things when they cleared him that, like, this is still going on. He is still participating in that. And it doesn't help, Chelsea. We found out yesterday, Rozier's still getting paid. There's nothing in the contracts that can stop you from getting paid in something like this, because they're not prepared for this. There's no language there. So despite the fact that he is being investigated and indicted by the FBI, he's still getting all of the money that is being paid to him by the NBA. And like, it's this weird balance. You know, we love gambling. This is a lot of fun. I love doing this on a daily basis. You love doing this on a daily basis. There are some days where I don't like doing it, but then we chase and we like doing it some more. There are guys that have real issues with this. There are people just in general that have real issues with this. And there needs to be some sort of balance of punishing and ruling with an iron fist, but also helping the guys that have real issues with these sorts of things. Like, a card game is kind of whatever, but if you are so in with the mafia, the way that Jonte Porter seemed to be, the way that Terry Rozier seems to be, and who knows what is the case with Malik Beasley, and all of the players that we don't know, if you're so in and you have a problem with the gambling, there needs to be things that or avenues where you can get players help to deal with these sorts of things. Because it's a very, very slippery road once you fall into it.
I think the tough part is that how much of the accountability falls on the players. Because at the end of the day, like, as commissioner, you can't just expect every single player to be a good apple. I will say it's nice that it feels like most of the faces of your league are squeaky clean and usually pretty good citizens. Like, look at LeBron. He's never in trouble. Look at Steph Curry. Never in trouble. Family guy as well. So I don't know how you stop that, because even in the NFL, like, remember when the NFL had like a domestic abuse problem? And people are like, this is a real problem in the NFL. And it did feel like it because it was a trend. But like, how much of that is just, you know, bad apples, and how much of that can you really prevent?
Right. It does start to then infringe on the just like, you know, basic rights of how much should your employer really be in on your personal life. And, you know, I can't imagine what it's like to be an NBA player where everybody wants to give you all of these things. And if I think about these situations and how you get, you know, involved with some of the crime families, which, saying crime families in 2025, like, what are we in the 40s? Like, is this New York during Prohibition? Lord have mercy. But when you're getting involved with some of these families, like, I imagine at first it started with a couple of fancy dinners, and then fancy dinners become a little bit more, you're playing cards, and then it becomes a little bit more, and all of a sudden, you know, in a, like a 2-week, 3-week span, whatever, over the course of a season, you're $1 million in the hole to these guys. And when you're $1 million into the hole, one, there's interest. And then two, they want their money, and they want it pretty quickly. And there are ways, obviously, as we know, as we've seen, for you to make that money without, you know, giving it from yourself, giving it to your contract. We're like, hey, well, I'll take myself out of a game here. If you put X amount of money on it, it's going to be a nice return. There you go. You know, half of my debt, a quarter of my debt or whatever is paid. You do that three times, and all of a sudden you're a free man, and you just know, hey, I'm not going to go hang out with the Sopranos anymore or whatever. So I think you're right. I don't know how you can, you know, fully dictate it, and that it kind of lies the problem. There's no way to fully eradicate this. There's no messaging. There's no, you know, changes you can make. There's no way to fully eradicate the problem that you have. And Adam Silver is going to have to find a way to navigate it. And it's not something that is proven to be his strong suit. He's a money-making guy, Chelsea. I've never looked at him and said, that's a great leader, the way that at times David Stern was.
It feels like Adam Silver is definitely one that's for the players. Like, he wants, like, the players still kind of run the league, in my opinion. But yeah, it's a difficult problem that he's going to have to face from here on out, because again, no matter what gets proven by the FBI in the court of public opinion, your integrity feels like it's already gone, right? Because that's the thing. All of these headlines that casual people follow, even if they find nothing and the FBI is like, all right, we're going back on this, we messed up, like, people remember the allegations, and some people will see that and they will never trust the NBA again.
Never. Never. And now what you also have is you have, you know, we have so much access with cameras now. Cameras from, like, the fan when they're just holding it up. Cameras from, you know, broadcast. Now you're looking into everything. I mean, I've seen that viral Kevin Durant clip where he's looking at a guy in a Texas shirt who's pointing at his hat, and people are saying, well, is he getting a sign from somebody on the sideline to miss something, to get a rebound, to do one of these things? Like, now what happens is you're going to have people that are digging way too deep into, do I think that Kevin Durant isn't? No, I don't. I literally, Kevin Durant loves two things, Chelsea. He likes to play basketball and he likes to smoke hella weed. And he's been very open about both of those things. That's literally all the guy does. So I don't think he's involved with these sorts of things, but now you're having all of these players, you're getting them looked into because we don't know what is real and what is not anymore.
Well, because it's head scratching that some of these guys, even though they're not like the tip top of like the faces of the NBA, these are guys who have made like hundreds of millions of dollars. Like Terry Rozier has made over $120 million. So you say to yourself, why is he doing this? He shouldn't have money problems. Same with Malik Beasley. So I don't know if it's like a thing where you need to start educating the rookies on how to financially plan for their future so they don't get into financial problems. But it is a massive problem that the NBA is now facing. And I'm glad I am not Adam Silver personally, because that is a lot to deal with. All right, coming up next, a full preview of Game 4 of the World Series between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, and how the Blue Jays can overcome an 18-inning defeat last night that lasted over 6 hours. They'll have to do it against Ohtani as well. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Best time of year. So yesterday we had the sports equinox with all of the major sports in action. And then tonight, normally Tuesdays are not my favorite, Denton. But we do have a World Series game. It's game four between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, and especially after the drama that we saw last night, because if you're tuning into the show, there is a good chance while you were sleeping, you missed a marathon affair between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers lasting 18 innings, and the Dodgers, walking it off via Freddie Freeman at the end, winning 6-5. But how much did you partake in the sports equinox? I will say I was very dialed in to Monday Night Football and the World Series. Other than that, I didn't really watch any other sports.
No, I didn't watch much else either. You know, we were at a, so we were doing a show locally. So obviously Commanders played, super dialed into that. We're at a bar, and it was, the bar had a good amount of people there. It wasn't like packed to the gills or anything like that, but it was a good amount of people there. And it was funny. So this bar has probably, I would say conservatively, about 15 televisions, right? Like they have like the center console where the bar is. They got like, you know, four or five on each side of there. And then they have this big projector and all these things. 12 of them were on Monday Night Football. Three or two of them were on the World Series. And then one of them was, I don't know, they were like playing a movie or something, or playing some sort of NBA. But it was hilarious because 99% of the people in there were watching the Commanders and Chiefs. And then there was these two people that were just losing their mind at the World Series. And every now, there'd be like a commercial, and you just hear them go, "Oh, Ohtani!" And you're like, yep, all right, yep, going good over there. So I partook in those two things, and that's pretty much it.
See, it was, I think the power rankings were a little different for me, so I would have been one of those people watching the World Series. Like, I understand, because you were in D.C., that obviously they have to put the local team on, but I don't know, it's a World Series. And this game was so good to the point where I had it on the split screen on YouTube TV, but I had the audio on the World Series because I felt like the Commanders and Chiefs game, I could like watch out of the corner out of my eye, and I didn't really need the commentary as much. But I would have turned off Troy Aikman too.
Trust me, I wanted to be like, oh my God. Yeah, there was a point in the game last night where Rashee Rice got a penalty because he threw the ball at Quan Martin. And I'm talking like he's probably 4 or 5 feet and pegs him right, basically right in the forehead with a football. And then Troy Aikman goes, he's like, well, Joe, you know, a ref was, you know, 10 yards behind. Maybe he was just throwing the ball to the ref. And I was like, no, Troy, he was not. He looked at him in the face, threw it at him, and it hit him literally right in the head. It was like point blank range. So I would have at times turned Troy Aikman off last night, too.
Were you angry at all at the referees? I saw some dialogue on that last night.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't great, but Mahomes and the Chiefs scored 3 unanswered in the second half. Like, that wasn't all the officials. Yeah. You need to get a stop. You did really well in the first half doing that. You didn't do well in the second half doing that.
I think it's tough to, like, argue, like, the officiating cost you the game if, like, the game's not close.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
if it's, like, the final play of the game. Yeah, so, like, I understand that. I think people just like to pile on when it comes to the Chiefs because, obviously, like, for the past few years, like, oh, the Chiefs get all the breaks, which there's a lot of ammo to that argument. But again, last night's game was not especially close. So I was dialed in to the World Series. And one interesting tidbit before we move on to our handicap of this game, did you know that they almost ran out of baseballs last night? So apparently they rub up like 290 baseballs. But think about how many pitches are thrown and how many foul balls, how many balls leave the stadium. And, you know, pitchers want new baseballs every time they go out there because they check for, like, the sticky stuff and all that. So in the 18th inning, like, they were running low on baseballs. They almost had to send somebody out to get more baseballs because they almost ran out.
So Freddie Freeman's really a hero then for Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. He saved them from a massive PR crisis of how you run out of the one thing that's the most important in the game.
That's why you need a mom on staff. You would have been more prepared with snacks and extra balls. But again, 18 innings is probably not what they were expecting when they started that game. All right, so tonight's matchup between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays features Shohei Ohtani starting for the Dodgers. 2-0 this postseason with a 2.25 ERA. And Shane Bieber, who has been a bit up and down, is going for Toronto. He's 1-0 with a 4.38 ERA. The Dodgers, big favorites here, -190. Toronto, +155. And the total in this one sits at 8. So, first of all, from a betting standpoint, I feel like when you have these marathon games, there are a few things to look into as soon as you have one of these games. So, first off, for me, you go to the pitcher outs prop, and you say, okay, if these teams had to use, what, almost 20 pitchers last night, they are going to count on the starter to maybe go a little longer, especially when you're talking about the team that just won the game last night. So the Dodgers have the edge on this series, 2-1. So for me, the first thing I looked at, Denon, was Shohei Ohtani over his outs recorded. It's 17.5, which means he needs to go 6 innings, but it's just to -167. So that's not a number that I love betting. And here's the thing on outs props. Like, you can't go either direction. Like, that's the number you get, and that's the number that you have to bet. Shane Bieber is 14.5, but that is -174. So I feel like the books kind of sussed me out on that one, and they kind of know that that is a good bet, but you're going to have to pay a premium on it. But are there other angles that you look at when you see a game go way into extras? Do you say, hey, the team that won gets a ton of momentum, this is kind of a team of destiny type of thing? Or do you say there's a reason this game went 18 innings because these two teams are so evenly matched?
So this is a head versus a heart thing for me, because mental, or in my heart, I'm like, all right, well, the Dodgers are, they're going to win now. Like, they're the best team. It's over. But the Blue Jays went effectively a full game without scoring. And there's no way that their offense doesn't explode today, in my mind. And I feel like the model that I would subscribe to is that I would always take the team that lost after a massive, you know, extra inning game. It would be a little different if it was they were going, you know, kind of blow for blow. Like, let's just say, you know, 6-5, but 3 of those runs, you know, came throughout the course of the 18 innings. But because they went with such a large gap, I feel like it would be smart to then lean in favor of Toronto to have some sort of offense. I love that you bring the pitcher out prop. That's my favorite pitcher prop to play. It's been that way for the entire season. It's been very profitable for me this entire season. I am, though, very curious as to what kind of leeway some of these guys are going to have, because you know Toronto used 9 last night, Los Angeles used 10. If you do get touched up a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, do they give you a little bit of a longer leash, understanding that we just don't have that many arms to go to if we end up pulling you, midway through the fifth inning?
Well, that's the handicap. That's the handicap that you use during the regular season. That's the handicap you use during the World Series. But it does get a little murky because these are still very meaningful games. So, like, if Ohtani is getting roughed up and he's given up a bunch of runs, they're probably going to take him out, because you can't just let him, twist away in the wind. But it doesn't feel like that's probably going to be the case for Ohtani. This is a really good hitting Blue Jays lineup, but the trend that I've noticed is that, okay, so Blake Snell was dealing coming into this series, and so was Tyler Glasnow. But the difference between Glasnow and Snell and Yamamoto is the fact that these Blue Jays hitters had not seen very much of Yamamoto. This was like one of some of the batters had not ever faced him, as opposed to Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow, who each pitched for the Rays in the AL East. So a lot of these batters have played against them. So they have a big sample size, and the advantage goes to the batter when there is familiarity. So you look at Ohtani, and a lot of these Blue Jays batters have not faced him a ton. So he already has an advantage there. And plus, you look at the sample size, the way things are trending, Ohtani has been pitching very, very well. And here's the other thing. Like, we have seen this from Dave Roberts, is that if his starter is pitching really well, he's willing to let him stay in. Like, we've seen back-to-back complete games from Yamamoto. So I am not saying that, that juice is great at minus 167, but maybe you can combine that with something else and you put it in a parlay, because I do think that is a very good angle.
I mean, honestly, the rate that he's going right now, you maybe take that and parlay it with a total bases prop, because he's just taking those by the dozen, it feels like. What would be more surprising to you tonight? If Shohei goes, I'm not going to say complete game, because if he goes a complete game and then also has success at the plate, I can't, my brain literally cannot comprehend something like that happening in 2025. But what would be more surprising to you if he does get to, let's just say, the seventh inning and he's dealing and he's having success at the plate, or if he gets roughed up and they need to pull him early? Because we did see in the early portion of getting him back into pitching, there were a couple of games to start where he didn't have it fully yet. Now, that was months ago. It's not fair to use that as a talking point for the prop, but do you think that would that surprise you more if he does not perform well at the plate versus him potentially going 7 or 8?
I think it would shock me less if he just has a down day batting, because we have seen that for the majority of the postseason. Like, I know he's had these like wild statistical anomaly games, but before some of those, like, he's had a relatively quiet postseason. Like, before some of those, like, he was, like, 1 for 22 or something. So that's not going to shock me as much. Like, it'll shock me, but not as much as pitching where it feels like there is a lot less volatility. Because think about when you're hitting, too. Like, you can fly out to the warning track, and it counts the same as, like, a ground out to the pitcher. You know, so, like, even when you're making that hard connection, it still counts as an out and an over for your plate appearance. I think if you're betting on total bases on Ohtani, though, this is something to watch for. Ohtani got walked, what, 5 times?
5 times.
To end the game?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if the Blue Jays will even pitch to him, which is tough when he is your leadoff batter and you're like, hey, here's a free pass, especially with some of those batters in the lineup behind him. I don't know. I don't think they'll walk him every single time, but it is something to note, because walks do not count for total bases.
Right. Which has been killer for me at times, because I used to do that with like James Wood in DC. I've done it with Shohei. So that's a great point that you bring up, though, that you have to take into consideration if you did want to parlay those two things together. He is just like, I don't know. Not that they had a lot of sleep, the Toronto Blue Jays, because they literally played until like 3 a.m. Eastern time this morning. But this has to keep them up at night as to how you deal with him. because you either immediately have a guy on base, as you mentioned, and you walk him immediately, or you run the risk of the best baseball player on the planet doing what he does best, which is just crush your hopes and dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. But all that to be said, that there are some Blue Jays players that are tough to deal with as well. Because I've said this a million times, but Vladdy Jr. is having one of the best postseasons we've seen in quite some time. He's hitting .416 this postseason. So if there's anybody who is fully capable of going off, it's certainly Vladdy Jr. And eventually we will probably see the Dodgers bullpen, which I know kept the Blue Jays scoreless for hours last night. But it feels like this Blue Jays lineup is just too good to be kept down for too long. It's a lineup averaging over 6 runs a game this postseason. I will say this, big blow is not having George Springer for this game. I'm assuming he's not going to play, but who knows? It's the World Series because he was injured in the 7th inning last night. But I will say this as well. If you're thinking about the Blue Jays and you're like, oh, they're going to be tired, you know, maybe they don't have the energy in this game. This still feels like a very young team to me. And you know the thing about young people, sleep isn't as necessary as it is for old people. And I know this has been a headline throughout the World Series is, I don't know if you saw this, but Addison Barger of the Blue Jays slept on one of his teammates' couches before game one of the World Series. And he had a huge game. So it just goes to show that, like, sometimes the situation does not matter. When it's the World Series, especially if you're young, I don't know if the sleep even matters.
No, and as you're so ramped up on adrenaline, coffee, Red Bull, whatever. I'm expecting a big game, though, from Vladdy tonight. You know, we've talked about this. He is your superstar, and I do think that the reason that I am backing Toronto, and I might do something crazy. We got it like 90 minutes for me to decide. I might just have Toronto on the money line tonight, Chelsea. But I feel like he is so good. He is your meal ticket. I think he is going to be the one that really has a great performance tonight. I think the legend, we've all known who Vladdy Jr. is. Obviously, he comes with the name recognition. He's already got the big contract in Toronto. But I feel like the legend of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has really been born over the last couple of weeks. And I do think he gives us another performance tonight where you continue the birth and the growth of that legend.
Right, because legends are born in October. Like, as great as a regular season player as you want to be, like, there is a reason why I feel like Mike Trout's career has kind of had a ceiling when it comes to marketability. Like, as far as tools go, like, if you talk to any Major League Baseball player, they'll say, yeah, that guy's an absolute freak. But because the Angels have not been in the postseason, I just feel like people just don't recognize him as much, just because it hasn't been the October heroics that we're now seeing with Vladdy Jr. If you're looking for some options there, over hits, runs, RBIs, over 1.5 for Vladdy Jr. is -112. I like that quite a bit. Maybe one of the many plays I'll play in tonight's Game 4 between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. Coming up next, time to switch gears to the NFL. It's a teaser Tuesday after the break on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off and running. As hour two rolls on here on the Daily Tip. I'm Chelsea Messenger. Den Day filling in for Jenks today. And it's Tuesday, which means it's a teaser Tuesday here on the show. And so normally I like full transparency, and we always talk about our wins as well as our losses. So, Den, usually there is one team that ruins my teaser, and that's why I always ask the question, who ruins my teaser? But this week it was two teams, so it was not my best effort on the teaser front. Sometimes I win these, but usually it is one team that loses. But let me tell you. Okay, so the first leg of my teaser last week was the Patriots minus one. That was an easy win. The Pats won 32-13 over the Browns. But then this is where the problem started. So I had the Cowboys plus nine. I thought that their offense was good enough to at least keep it close and give us a backdoor cover on that number. But they got boat raced. The Broncos scored 44 points, and the Cowboys could only muster 24 points. But the most frustrating out of all these picks was my third leg of this. I had the Falcons minus one against the Dolphins. The Dolphins head coach to me looks like he is actively trying to get fired, but yet the Falcons lost at home 34-10 to the Dolphins. I included this in my handicap. I said, I don't know if I should be trusting the Falcons, and now I know for sure I should not be trusting the Falcons ever.
Ever. Point blank. Period. Ever. Done. You're on the bad list. You're in timeout. Yeah, that line didn't even really move a ton, Chelsea, when we found out that Kirk Cousins was going to play instead of Michael Penix, and they still got boat raced. What an embarrassing performance. I've been a Kirk Cousins fan for a number of years. I liked him when he played here in D.C., and he seems like a likable guy. Shops at Kohl's and Old Navy. I shop at Kohl's and Old Navy. You know, Kirk Cousins and I got that in common. Different paychecks, but we got that in common. He's just not that good anymore. He's not. And he's basically stealing money from organizations now. Like, they're paying him an awful lot of money to get boat raced by the Miami Dolphins with their coach looking like a zombie on this. I mean, they made Tua look good. I didn't know that was possible in the year of our Lord, 2025.
Right. And it's not just Kirk Cousins. Like, statistically, this was supposed to be one of the better defenses in the NFL. And I know stats sometimes can pad things, but like 34 points to the Dolphins? Come on, man. So the Falcons fall under the category of teams kind of like the Jaguars, where no matter how good they look on a one-week basis, you say, whoa, the Falcons got a big win over, who was it, the Bills? Or, yeah, they beat the Bills. And you're like, whoa, the Falcons are for real. The Falcons are never for real. And
they're
this is like
real.
It feels like a thing that's stretched multiple years, where you're like, okay, the Falcons, are we for real? Most years they are not. Even when they were very, very good with Matt Ryan, then they had that infamous loss in the Super Bowl. What was it, 28-3?
28-3. I've seen tattoos of that. They're the week-to-week Falcons. No one epitomizes that phrase more than Atlanta.
Yeah, except for maybe the Jags. Like, I feel that way about the Jaguars, too. Where sometimes you see them, they're like, oh, they beat the Chiefs. Trevor Lawrence is scrambling for his life, and they looked all right. And then they'll, like, lose to somebody terrible. So, like, the Falcons and Jags are teams that I don't want to bet on with, like, a 10-foot pole.
No, I'm done. I'm with you. I'm done on the Jags. I think I'm done with the Trevor Lawrence. I can't put my hard-earned American currency on Trevor Lawrence anymore.
It's so crazy to think that Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be like a can't-miss prospect. Mm-hmm. And he's had flashes. And I will say it doesn't help the organizational miscues that the Jags have had while he is there. But it just goes to show that, like, nothing's promised in the NFL. Like, no matter how great you are, no matter, like, how much, like, talent and skill and projectability you have to the NFL, is that sometimes it doesn't work out. And maybe he'll be one of those guys in like 5 years where it's like a reclamation project where like, whoa, is Trevor Lawrence actually good? Because we've seen it with some other quarterbacks, like with Sam Darnold. So do you think that like all of this adversity is just sharpening his iron for, you know, later down the road? Maybe he goes to a different team and he's actually good.
I do think maybe he goes to a different team and he's actually good. That's just the curse of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know what they did to earn this curse, but there's clearly something there. I don't know. Maybe him and Kyler Murray should swap. Send Trevor Lawrence to Arizona.
Team
you know,
swap.
Kyler Murray. You know, yeah. Send Kyler over there. Kyler can be running for his life in London. They'll think he's so awesome over there. And then Trevor Lawrence can throw to Marvin Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride. Mm. And you're like, oh, this actually kind of looks like what you looked like at Clemson. This might be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll see. Like, the NFL is funny like that. Because there was talent once there, and it's wild to me that Trevor Lawrence was one of those quarterbacks that, remember when we talked about like how much of a winner he was, where they're like, he hasn't lost a game since like his junior year of high school, and then he goes to Clemson and like runs the table. Now all he does is lose.
Now all he does is the inverse of DJ Khaled.
Oh no, I am dunking on the Jags and the Falcons, and I'm sorry, I'll stop it. There are probably some Jags and Falcons fans that are like, come on, we're already struggling. Listen, I'm a Titans fan, so I feel ya.
If anyone can kick them while they're down, it's you. Like, you get a couple extra in there.
Yeah, because I'm kicking up. So I'm in the ninth rung of hell, so it's fine. I'm just going to be biting ankles, you know, while I'm laying on the ground. All right, so enough chit-chat. Let's get to Teaser Tuesday.
Chelsea is such a teaser.
All right, so who's it going to be this week that ruins the teaser? Is it going to be one team? Is it going to be two teams? Are all three going to be a nightmare? Or do I actually win this week? That is the question. So, Den, I feel very good about two legs of this teaser, but there's one that I kind of have a question on. So let me run this by you. So first leg of the teaser that I feel super confident in, maybe it's square, but I don't care. Lions laying 2.5 against the Vikings. Don't know if you've seen the news, but Carson Wentz is now on the injured list, which I feel like he's been injured for a lot of the season, but now they're down J.J. McCarthy, they're down Carson Wentz. And the Lions feel like an absolute wagon. That offense is so hard to stop, especially at home. Lions minus 2.5 hosting the Vikings. Next up, we're going to fade the team that I follow because it is disastrous watching the Titans week in and week out. So we're going to go with the Chargers minus 4 against the Titans. Obviously, these are teased down numbers. So the Chargers are laying 10 against the Titans, but you dumb it down to 4. I feel like that is a very easily coverable number. And then finally, here's the one that I have the question marks about. Okay, so I'm going to go with the Bengals at home plus 8.5 against the Bears. Or you could switch that one out and you could use the Broncos plus 7.5 at the Texans. But the Texans proved me very, very wrong last week, so I am not inclined to go against them. So who ruins my teaser?
So those last two are very tough ones. I think your first one is spot on with the Lions. I believe, we don't know this for sure because it's only Tuesday, Max Brosmer is going to get the start for Minnesota. I don't know what you know about Max Brosmer, Chelsea. I watched him a little bit in college at Minnesota. Didn't know he was in the NFL. So this is news to me. Congratulations to him. This is news to me. Can't believe he's here. So I like that one. Chargers and Titans, like that one. I kind of feel like the Broncos should be the one there because I don't know if the Texans have fixed all of their issues, and I feel like that Broncos defense is going to be good enough to really get after and mess with C.J. Stroud. But then it's confusing to me that they're already the underdog because it's not like Houston's a tough place to play. I know they're on the road, but you're not traveling across the country. You're not going overseas. It's not a tough environment. So that line freaks me out a little bit. But I feel a little bit more comfortable in them than the Bengals and the Bears. I think the Bears are going to have a big-time offensive showing this weekend because they did not look good against the Ravens, which was a bad defense. I think they need this one this weekend. If the Bears don't win, all hell. I mean, you talk about the ninth rung of hell. If there's a tenth rung, that's what is going to be experiencing in Chicago. They're going to be Dante's Inferno is going to come right in front of that little bean. You know, is that a statue? What is that called?
Oh,
piece of art.
We're digging.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, we're digging really deep into Chicago. Double D, is that like, is that technically a statue? That little bean thing there. Well, anyway, Dante's Inferno is going to open up in front of the bean thing there, and that's just going to succumb Chicago if they lose to the Bengals.
Well, because I think this is a similar handicap to maybe I need to be learning my lesson here. Is what I thought with the Cowboys and the Broncos last week is me saying, okay, if you have an offense that can sling it, hopefully you can keep it close. But it's the same problems with the Cowboys as it is with the Bengals defense. So here's what I feel like I should have done. And listen, I am not somebody who's normally advocating teasing totals, but I do think we see a lot of points in this Bears and Bengals game. So maybe you tease the total and you say, okay, total's 52.5. That's a touch high. You can tease it down to 46.5. Maybe that's another option. But at the very heart of things, like, you're not supposed to tease totals because points are more at a premium when it comes to these lines. But let me go back to this Broncos one, because this is another one where I don't want to go against the books again. Because last week I went against the books and I was like, why are the Texans favored against the Niners? Like, the Texans don't look like a team that is good to me. And they beat the Niners pretty comfortably. So, again, do I want to go against the books for a second straight week and lose for a second straight week? I'm not so sure. So that line looks fishy to me, so maybe I'm going to stay away from that one.
Yeah, I think if that's your logic, I agree with that, and I would stay away from that one. I don't hate teasing the total in that Bengals-Bears game because I am expecting a ton of offense, and that 52 number is really high. So if you're getting that at 50 or 46, I don't hate that. I know it goes against the traditional rules of it, but I think that might be a smart play.
Yeah, if I would have done that with the Cowboys and the Broncos, I would have had a winning teaser leg.
You'd come in with jewelry.
I was like, you can't tease toodles. Because that's the thing. There are some of these, like, quote-unquote rules in betting that are, like, they're not rules, but it's just like general guidelines. So, like, people kind of dunk on you, like, you shouldn't be teasing totals. Because I will say this, you should not be teasing college games, because those points are usually not at a premium.
Yeah,
but in the NFL, that's where teasers usually reign supreme. All right, hour three is on deck here on the show. Our biggest takeaways from the Chiefs and Commanders game last night. Should the Chiefs be Super Bowl favorites? It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.